Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
What I want to talk about tonight is it's a simple title that I called Healing from Rejection. Healing from Rejection. It actually relates to the whole topic of fatherhood, because I believe that one of the biggest wounds in our lives actually come from our fathers. And so I want to talk about this tonight, open this subject, and I trust that it's not just going to be my words, but that the Holy Spirit would actually speak to you and He will apply this message to you personally. And I really pray that the Holy Spirit ministers to you and heals any possible wounds in your own lives. I believe that rejection is our normal experience. So every person experiences some kind of rejection. There is not one person on this planet that has never experienced any rejection. If there are some lucky people in the house, I apologize. But most people actually, or maybe all people actually, go through some experience of rejection. You know, maybe you've brought this incredible, clever idea to your boss and it was rejected. Or maybe you wrote this amazing academic paper and it was rejected. Or possibly you had this vision, this dream, and it was aborted, it was rejected. There are also more painful rejections, and they come from the people that you love. Maybe you opened your heart to someone who was very special to you. Maybe a girlfriend, maybe a boyfriend, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, and that person rejected you, and they said no. You know, I'm so incredibly lucky that the girl of my life actually said yes. And she's so lucky as well. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. But I feel that probably the most painful rejection comes from the person who actually defines our own identity, and that's the father in our life. You know, the role or the function of the father is actually to define your identity, your value, and your direction. That is the role of the father. That's what fathers are for. We are here to define the identity, the direction, and also the value of our children. I have three boys, and all of them are incredibly different. All of my three boys, they have different dreams. They like different things. They have different temperaments. They're so different. And it is my role to, or it has been my role over the years, to speak life and identity and purpose and value and direction into their lives. It's incredible how many people, maybe in this room, but definitely how many people I have met in my own life, my own ministry, who actually went through a father trauma. Sometimes the fathers may have said words that have wounded your life. It could be things like, "I am so ashamed of you." It could be something like, "I hate you." Or it could be something like, "You will never amount to anything. You are a failure. You are a loser." Sometimes it could be unexpressed love. Maybe there are families represented in this house where your father actually never told you that he actually loves you. And maybe that's because he never heard it from his own father. Sometimes the fathers never actually embraced their sons or their daughters. They actually never said, "You are mine. I'm gonna fight for you." And sometimes the rejection actually came very early on, right after someone was born. And oftentimes, or sometimes I have experienced people that were told by their own fathers that, "You should never have been born. You just bring trouble to me. Or you should have been a boy while that person is a girl, or you should have been a girl while that person is a boy. So we need the fathers in our lives.
Amen.
And obviously you all have fathers. You were supposed to laugh here. Thank you so much. But we also need a healing in our lives from the wounds that our fathers made or created in our own lives. Now, I want to bring you to a story in the Old Testament where hopefully this is all going to make sense. I want to bring you to a story, a well-known story in the Old Testament. It's a story of a young guy, a teenage guy in this particular chapter of his life, who actually had a father wound. He was rejected by his father, but he was also rejected by other father types in his own life. And what I felt God say through this message, I believe that what he said was, I want to heal the father wounds in people's lives. I felt God wants to just uphold any root of rejection in our hearts today and bring healing. Anybody ready for that? Amen. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to go through this passage together so you can just follow this story as I read it right now. It's the story of David, the famous king, before he became the king. This is what happens. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint one of the one, you are anoint for me the one I indicate." And Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." This is a good scripture, right? The Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. And he was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. And hopefully we have verses 17 and 18 as well. Yeah, the Lord... 17. So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." 18. One of his servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man. And all of the guys in the room said, and the Lord is with him. And the Lord is with him. It's a bit of a lengthy passage, but I believe it's incredibly important. So, as a way of introduction, you know, David had a number of father figures in his life, all the men who basically interacted with him. I'm going to mention just with one sentence each one of them. The first one actually was Goliath. Goliath was a figure in his life, a father type figure, but also he was his assassin. Another one was Saul, the king. He was a father figure for David. He actually had high respect from David, but of course, he was jealous of David and also wanted to kill him. Number three, it was David's own oldest brother, Eliab. He was 7 brothers ahead of him, so considerably older than David, but he judged him. He did not love his younger brother. He judged him. And then there is the prophet Samuel. And obviously, as we saw in this story, he didn't really count on David initially. And then we come to David's own father, Jesse, who did not even invite him to the table. So on a Father's Day, I want to speak about the father healing our father wounds. And I do have a couple of points, 7 in particular, so I have to hurry. Here's number one. Let's say this together. Here is number one. Calling for your life and oil for your head. Can we say this together? God has a calling for your life and he's got oil for your head. I love what the Bible says here, what God says to Samuel, the prophet. He says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be a king. That's great news. See, God has a calling for your life. He's got a special destiny and a special future for your life. Can you help me preach and turn to your neighbor and tell him God has a calling for your life? God has a calling for your life. Sir, God has a calling for your life. Young lady, God has a calling for your life. Amen. He's got a special calling. And God actually, he made sure that his prophet Samuel comes all the way to Bethlehem just to tell one of Jesse's sons that, hey, I have a special destiny for you. You know, even though his earthly father did not count with David, actually the heavenly father, he actually had a special plan for his life. This is so encouraging. You may be forgotten by your earthly father, but let me tell you, you're not forgotten by the heavenly father. Come on. He's got a plan for your life. And some of you really need to hear that tonight, because you know the enemy likes to take our worst experience and he likes to tell us this is our normal experience. But the Heavenly Father, he has a special destiny, a special plan for your life. God wants you. You are wanted. You are loved. There is a future and a destiny for your own life. You know, I was very young when I experienced the call of God in my life. But on that day, I will never forget, I felt so important. I felt like, wow, the God of heavens, he's actually counting with me in his plan, in his harvest, in his future. It was so amazing. I felt like, wow, God actually values me. He wants me in the harvest. He wants me in his word. And I want you to know this. You may be forgotten by your earthly father, but you're definitely not forgotten by the heavenly father. And there is also the oil for your head. Samuel comes with a horn full of oil. He says, there is a special anointing for your mission. There is a special oil for your calling. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's number one. Here's number two. God is looking for the right heart to match the call. And again, let's say this together. God is looking for the right heart to match the call. So, you know, the story, Samuel comes, and one by one, all of the sons, they you know, make a showing. They all come. It was like a casting for some movie. They all come one by one. And God says, not this one, not this one, not this one. Number four, not this one. Number five, not this one. Number six, not this one. Number seven, not this one. What's wrong, God? And God tells Samuel, he says, hey, you're looking at them from the wrong perspective. I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm actually looking for the right heart to match the vision that I have for this person's life. You know, there is a great future for you. The only problem is God is looking for the right heart for your future. So you better sync your heart with your future. You better align your own character with the vision that God has for your life. You better align your attitude, your character, your drive with the future that God has for you. The problem is never with God's future, with God's destiny. The problem sometimes is with our heart. God has a plan, but He's looking for the right heart that is suitable for His plan with your life. He's looking for character. He's looking for humility. He's looking for the attitudes. He's looking at the motives. He's looking for courage. And He is looking, as we have heard earlier today, for faith. The man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He knows exactly what the future king needs. And I want to encourage some of you, younger generation, next gen, God has a great future for your life. I can say that from my own experience. He's just looking for you to develop the right heart, because that's what He's after. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. He wants to see the right heart to match His vision. So that's why He's saying with number one, no, number two, no, number three, no, number four, no, number five, six, seven, no. It doesn't find the right heart to match the destiny of Israel. And see, God often chooses those who are despised, forgotten, and rejected. He often does it, and He did it with, with David. He does it with the number eight. So here we go. God is looking for the right heart to match the call. Ready for number three? Brothers are not your competition. Let's say this together. Brothers, they're not your competition. So again, in verse 10, we read that Jesse had all of his sons pass before Samuel, but God says, none of them. Now, this is pretty powerful. It's, you know, nobody will take your oil. Nobody's going to take your oil. Can you say this for yourself? Nobody's going to take my oil. What God has for me, what He has reserved for me, nobody's going to take it. Nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to rob me of my anointing. My brothers, you know, God has His own destiny for them, but my oil, nobody's going to take it from me. Amen. And in the New Testament, I love this. In the New Testament, there is plenty of oil. There is enough oil for every head. If your brother gets anointed, he doesn't take from your oil. If your sister gets anointed, she doesn't take from your oil. The Father has plenty. Brothers are never your competition. So when David is in a part of this story, you know, he's not threatened by this parade. His oil is not used for someone else's destiny. Now, you know, sometimes people are afraid, if this guy gets anointed, what is going to be left for me? It's like sometimes we're jealous for one another. But hey, I want you to get blessed. I want you to get blessed. There's not going to be less for me if you are blessed. There's not going to be less oil for me if you are anointed. Amen? Anybody alive? Amen? There's not going to be less oil. What the Father has for me is not going to be taken away. So that's number three. There's plenty of oil in the kingdom. And there's plenty of oil for your vision, for your destiny. Here's number four. Where fathers reject, God will not forget. Let's say this together. Where fathers reject, God will not forget. So then Samuel is asking Jesse in verse 11. He says, are these all the sons you have? I wonder what this was like. You know, I have three sons, and there are times when I don't think about each one of them, you know. But this story, it's like he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I have another one. And he's not even here. He's out there taking care of the sheep. He's out. He's not. I totally apologize. He's not here. I forgot about David. The number 8 is missing. Have you ever felt like you are the number 8? Like you've forgotten. You've been rejected. You were not even invited to the party. You were not even invited to the table. It's like everybody else got the invitation, but you. What's wrong? Number 8 is missing. He was not, David was not even invited. Friends, I have good news. God loves to work with those who are forgotten and rejected. He loves to work with number 8s. He loves to work with number 8s. He loves that. You know why? Because he can show his glory. He loves to show off his glory. And I want to say that maybe you were forgotten. Maybe you rejected. Maybe you were not accepted. Maybe you were ridiculed. maybe you didn't really belong in your family or in your work crew or in school, maybe even in church or in the society. Let me tell you that God has not forgotten and God has not rejected, that the Heavenly Father is counting on you. Where fathers, where earthly fathers reject, God will never forget. And there is always room at His table for you. If I could tell it face to face to you, all of you today, I would say this, there is room at the Father's table for all of you. There's plenty of room for all of you. There's plenty of room for you, sir. There's a plenty of room for you. There's a plenty of room for every one of us at the Father's table. Hallelujah. Number 5. Being rejected is not lost time. Being rejected is not lost time. Verse 11 says, you know, when Jesse, the father, he's asked the question, so where's number 8? And what does he say? Well, he is tending the sheep. He's doing what? Let me tell you what he's doing. He is doing exactly the thing that is going to prepare him for his future. He's pastoring, he's shepherding, he's tending the sheep. He is writing songs. He's worshiping the Lord out there. He is practicing his slingshot. He is killing the bear. He is killing the lion. He is out there getting ready to slay giants. He is in preparation for the kingdom. What he is doing while he is being rejected is he's being prepared for his destiny, for his future. So if you are rejected, let me tell you, friend, it is not lost time. God is going to redeem that for your future. Hallelujah. Amen. He's developing a skill inside of you that he's going to use in your future. He's birthing testimonies for your future. You know, when David later goes to slay Goliath, he was confident. Why? Because while he was being rejected from the father's house, he practiced on a bear and he practiced on a lion. He was in his father's school. While he was being rejected, dreams for his future were actually developed. Now, I wonder how many dreams there are in this room today. And the enemy wants to make you think that because you were rejected, God cannot use you. Let me say this. Sometimes because you were rejected, that's why God can use you. There is a saying that I love that it's a picture of a seed falling to the ground and actually developing a stem. So there is something growing out from the soil, from the earth. And the saying went, they thought they were burying me, but they were actually planting me. When you're being rejected, maybe the enemy thought he's burying you alive, but it's not your funeral, not today. It's actually a planting process. And God is going to develop a future for you. Your future is being born, sometimes in a rejection. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Here's number six. You will be anointed where you were rejected. Let's say this together again, friends. You will be anointed where you were rejected. So David comes, and this is the description. All of the guys want this to be said about them, right? He was glowing with health. He was a healthy guy. He had a fine appearance, was good looking, handsome features, right? Just like all of you tonight. And then God said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him, listen to this, in the presence of his brothers. Can you say this with me? In the presence of his brothers. In the presence of his brothers. Where he was rejected, now he is anointed. In the presence of his brothers. So he's a good-looking guy. His qualities, you know, they were taken for granted in his family. And you know, sometimes it is like that. In your own family, you're just taken for granted. But now, it's like, wow, David, he's a good-looking guy. He's skilled, he's got fine appearance, he's got good health. God is anointing him. He's got a musical talent with anointing. He's got testimonies, slaying wild animals. He's responsible. He built skills and responsibility. And now he's anointed in the presence of his brothers. Those brothers who said, oh, he's just number eight. He does not even belong to the table. Now, you know, this is often the case in the Bible. Joseph had the same story. And even Jesus had the same story. The Bible says that his own brothers did not believe in him, in Jesus. So let me encourage you, when you are rejected, there's going to be a time, if you're faithful, there's going to be a time when you will be anointed where you were rejected. I prophesy to some of you right now, you are going to be anointed in the very place where you were rejected. Maybe your family rejected you. God is going to anoint you for your family. Maybe your company, maybe your school, maybe your friends, they rejected you. Let me tell you, if you keep it up, if you are faithful, if you just stick to the process, God is going to anoint you where you were rejected in Jesus' name, even though you're number eight. Hallelujah. And finally, number seven. Some of you were waiting for this. Number seven. He said 7 points. So, yeah, number seven. Here we go. Number seven. Are you ready for the last one? The anointing will define your reputation. The anointing will define your reputation. So, fast forward a little bit. The king is having demonic attacks. Saul, the king, he's having demonic attacks. He's really troubled. He's got serious problems. The demons are attacking him. And now there is a nationwide search for someone who can play well and who's got the Spirit of God in his life. He's anointed. He can play well and he can come to the presence of the King. And one of the servants of the King says, I've actually met a guy like that. He's number 8. One of the sons of Jesse. He knows how to play the harp, the lyre, the guitar. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man. And, say this with me, the Lord is with him, and the Lord is with him. In other words, he may have gone through rejection. He may have gone through the season where he was forgotten, but the Lord is with him. And so they bring David to the royal court. They bring him, and he takes the guitar. He starts to play music. The Spirit of God enters the room. The demons leave the room. The glory of God is there. The presence of God is there. Now, the anointing will define your reputation. When you go through that season, even though your father was maybe rejecting you, maybe your father forgot about you, but the Heavenly Father did not. And in that time, you developed character, you developed skill, but also then the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on your life. And now your moment comes. Now you're summoned. Now you are called to the presence of the King. That was David's reputation. I wonder, what is your reputation today? I pray that when your moment comes, your reputation is, this is an anointed guy. That's an anointed girl. They walk with God. He walks with God. He went through a tough season, but God is with him. So what I want to do right now is, I wonder if we could all stand. In just a moment, we're going to pray for the father wounds and any rejection in our lives. But there is a final part to this story that I'm going to mention. And I don't have that on the screen, but when later, much later, David actually became the king, one of the first things he did was he wanted to look for anyone who is left from the family of the previous king, King Saul. Do you guys know this story? So what he does, he is searching if there is anybody alive from the family of Saul. And he finds out there is a grandson whose name is Mephibosheth, a grandson of Saul. And he's like, come on, bring him to me. He has to be at my table. In other words, it's like I was left out. I was number 8. I was not invited to the table. But I want to make sure that when I'm actually doing this, that he is invited to my table. And to me, that is the sign that God actually healed his own rejection from his own father. And now he's like, I want to make room at my table for the grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth. The name Mephibosheth, actually in Hebrew, it means from the mouth of shame. It was a name that actually meant you were born with shame. You actually carried shame all of your life. And David's like, I'm going to show mercy to him. I'm going to show grace to him. I'm going to invite him to the table. And to me, that's a sign. He's healed. Would you say so? He's healed. He's healed now. He's ministering to others as a father. Gonna pray now. And simply, I just want to start by just inviting us, all of us, just to pray for a moment. just wherever you are. I do not know your story. Most of you, I do not know your story. I do not know your family. I do not know your upbringing, your past. I do not know your history. But I know that the Father loves you. I know that the Father cares, deeply cares about you. I know that the Father has a hope and a future for your own life. And I want to say, if you went through a trauma in your own life from your earthly father, I want to actually apologize in his place. I want to stand here before you in place of your earthly father and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you were neglected, if you were rejected, if you were hurt, if you were wounded, maybe even abused. I want to say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I want to ask for forgiveness in your father's place. But I also want to release a healing flow on your own life, a healing from the Heavenly Father to you. If I could, I would give you a father hug today, a father embrace, saying that the Heavenly Father loves you. The Heavenly Father loves you. The Heavenly Father loves you. He's got the plan for your life. He's got a future for your life. Nobody's going to take your oil. Nobody's going to take your place at the table. You are invited to the table. You are invited to the table. So for just a moment, if you could just open your arms like as a sign of accepting the invite. It's almost like you want to receive the embrace from the Heavenly Father. It's like, yeah, Father, embrace. Embrace me today. Hug me today. It's like the Daddy God, Father God, He's coming to you right now. Let Him embrace you tonight. Let Him embrace you tonight. I release the Father love onto your life, on your life, in Jesus' name right now. Any rejection, any root of rejection, I pull it out in Jesus' name. I pull it out in Jesus' name. I release the flow of healing from the wounds of Jesus. You know, this is how much He loved you, that He gave His best, His only begotten Son, Jesus. And He changed roles with you. He was rejected on the cross so that you could be accepted. He was rejected on the cross so that you could be accepted. You could be accepted. I want to tell you, you are accepted. This is grace. This is definition of grace, that Jesus went on the cross and He suffered shame and rejection and punishment so that you could be accepted in His place and become a daughter, become a son to the Heavenly Father. Yes, and I release that in Jesus' name, this flow of grace and mercy and acceptance tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 I had a picture like almost like a scorpion's needle, what do you call it, sting, hitting someone, and the Father like took it out, and instead of that, death, life came. And another picture where the nails went into the hands and feet of Jesus, and blood came, because Jesus did that, because He suffered pain. That sting of rejection now can be healed. But I tell you that may healing flow right now in Jesus' name. Just take time for a few seconds to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Maybe some of you need to say, forgive. I forgive my Father. Maybe some of you need to actually say it. I forgive my dad. I make a decision to forgive my dad. I forgive in Jesus' name by faith. I forgive. I forgive. I let go of the pain. I forgive. I forgive. Hallelujah. I don't want this moment to pass without giving the greatest invitation to the Heavenly Father. Maybe some of you in this house tonight, you have never actually responded to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you still carry that unnecessary burden of sin on your life, but tonight you feel like it's enough. I actually want to run to my Father, my Heavenly Father. Two things are important. The first one is you need to confess to Him that you have sinned and you need to ask Him for forgiveness. That's what we call repentance. And the second thing is faith. It's when you look at the cross of Jesus and you believe that He died for you and He was resurrected for you. And as you do that, new life will come into your life. Healing will come into your life. Acceptance will come to your life. If you want to make that decision tonight, it will be my honor to pray for you and pray with you tonight in this house. So for just a moment, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes. And as we are before God, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if this is your decision tonight, if you want to make this commitment to follow Jesus. But let's all honor this moment and close our eyes before God right now. So if that's you, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, all over this room, if that's you, or if you want to come back to Jesus, maybe you already made your commitment, but you have kind of grown distant and you want to come back tonight, wherever you are, would you just give me a wave? I'd love to pray with you. Wherever you are, just raise your hand really high so I could see it. Yeah, come on. Come on, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, all over this room, come on. If there's anyone here, I don't want to miss the moment when the Father is calling you. Come on. Thank you, Lord. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, even though I don't see anyone in particular, let's pray this together. Maybe collectively you can do that. Come on, let's pray this together. Dear Father, I thank you for giving Jesus for me. I confess that I need you. I repent for my sin. And I receive you into my own life as a Lord and as a Savior. Make me one of your sons and daughters. And I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And everybody says, amen, 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 amen. Now, I could not really tell if there was anyone who actually made that commitment today, but if you actually did it, we'd love to meet with you after the service and pray with you and give you a Bible. And also, if you are a born-again Christian, let me encourage you to bring your friends next Sunday so they could meet the Heavenly Father person to person, face to face. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. So in this moment, we want to close by inviting the fathers to come, just to come to the front, if you would be so kind. And we would love to pray for you, that all the dads that are right here, would you please make your way to the front? Yeah, come on, church. Let's honor them. Yeah, just come closer. This is amazing. Just come closer. You know, just let's make room for these dads. Amazing. Yeah, feel free to come. Yeah. Wow. Wow, amazing. We are in this together. I want to honor you. I want to say that even as a church, we honor you, and that you play an important part in your own family, but also wherever God put you to live and to serve. We had this beautiful conversation last week about coaching the next generation. I love that. We are here as dads for the next generation. And I want to just honor you for doing that. So church, let's put our hands, raise our hands towards these amazing men. We all come broken, and we all need the help of the Heavenly Father. Yeah, so in Jesus' name, we speak blessing right now over the fathers in the house. We speak the blessing of the Heavenly Father, that He is happy with you, and that He's empowering you to be the best father you can. And Lord, I pray right now that you would just heal, set free, and empower these men to be the best fathers, the best dads they can be for the next generation, for their own sons and daughters, and also for the young generation, for the next generation in their own lineage, but also in our church. And we pray for a blessing of the Heavenly Father on your lives, on you, in Jesus' name. And I say, even as a pastor, that I'm proud of you for fighting the fight. I'm proud of you for running the race. I'm proud of you for still being in the ring and fighting for your family, fighting for your marriage, for your kids, for your place, for your leadership. And I speak that blessing of Jesus, that blessing of the Heavenly Father on you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Hallelujah, hallelujah.